Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight. We had a time already. We're in prayer and in discussion. Amen. So we're going to pick up where we left off last week, dealing with spiritual maturing in Christ, going from milk to meat. Okay? And we're in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. We're going to start there. I know we're at 13, but I like to kind of go up a little bit just so we can see the whole context of what we're talking about. So last week we were talking about, we looked at the fact that Melchizedek Christ in his role as our heavenly Melchizedek, he ministers to us now. He has fulfilled the role as Aaron, he filled the role of the ministry of Aaron, which he offered himself. So his offering was much greater than what Aaron could have ever offered through animal blood and animal sacrifice. So what we're doing in the book of Hebrews, we're just comparing the ministry of the Old Testament to the New, showing how Christ is much more superior than that of the Old, which we're not diminishing or demeaning the Old Testament, which we needed, because the Old Testament shows that everything pointed to Christ in types and shadow as our Redeemer, okay? But when we come to the New Testament, we see the reality of the Old. And so what these Hebrew Christians were doing, they realized in Judaism they were still serving under the Old Covenant, the Old Way, the animal sacrifice, the all these things that pointed to Christ. Some of the Hebrews realized that Christ had come and heard the gospel through Paul, and they'd given their lives to Christ and realized he fulfilled the old covenant or the old testament. He came to reveal himself, right? So they followed Christ. They left Judaism and followed Christ. After they followed Christ, they started maturing. Remember we said last week we have to go from the cross, the altar, to the brazen laver where they washed. And there's more in the courtyard or in the gate, entering the gate of Christ. There's a lot more we have to experience that many of us never get to. We never realize that although what Christ did at Calvary by redeeming us is great, grand, and awesome, and we never demean it, we have to keep progressing, okay? So we have to go from the crucified Christ to being washed by the word of God, which is represented by the brazen laver. And there is a tabernacle, there's a tent that we have to enter into that has two sections, okay? And we talked about last week how the holy place had a screen. They had the same works of art that the veil inside, which separated the altar of incense from the throne of God, the most holy place. The screen was there, and there when you entered in, there was darkness without the lamp. But when the lamp was on, that's what lit the room, so the priest could put the bread on the table of showbread, which was for the week, and then the altar of incense. And immediately before the altar of incense stood a veil. Now, remember when Christ died on the cross, it said the veil in the temple was rent or torn. That was the veil of his flesh. Now, we have to be crucified with Christ daily. And many of us, as Sister Cherry mentioned earlier, we're hindered. It seems like we start out right and then something comes to knock us down, and whether it's we're in the flesh or what. But the veil of our flesh has to be torn as well. See this? Christ did it once for all, but as we progress into the things of God, it's us progressing to the throne of God where this is where our spirit man communes with God. So we're connected to the spirit of God through our spirit, our human spirit. So in us, we have our human spirit, we have a soul, we have in our body. But once we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he communes with us through our human spirit. Now, the human spirit is surrounded by the soul, and all our heart and all these things. So I don't want to get into details with that, but from the spirit of man, God rules or communes, and he has to penetrate my heart, my soul. You see this? The Holy Spirit dwells. When he comes into us, he communes with my human spirit. The Bible says the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, and he lighteth it and searcheth every area. Now, there are some things in us that's not like God. Remember, be ye holy, for I am holy. So the spirit is searching for everything and every way and every thought and every belief that's not holy. Even though I may think, oh, it's just a little joke, it's just this and that. In the eyes of God, if it ain't holy, he says it need to be terminated. See this? This is the area where many of us as Christians, we stay on milk because it's much easier to assimilate it. It causes less friction. It causes no confusion. It's like eating little candies. You know, you give kids candy in church to keep them quiet. Here, they're amused by the candy. They're amused by the toy or something we give them. You see that? Because they can't handle what the preacher is saying. They don't understand it. They're babies. They're kids. You see that? So we in the spiritual realm, we are the same way. We want to stay on meat, those things that we can assimilate. You know, those things that don't bring an offense, those things that don't go against my superstition and my upbringing and my traditional church and doctrinal beliefs. See, we got to be willing to lay all that stuff down, because there's a lot of stuff that we were taught and brought up in that's not like God, and he has to terminate it. Not many Christians, or very few, are willing to go on and let God deal with them. See this? Jacob had to let God deal with him. See that? Even though he was a chosen person and he was called of God, he had to let God deal with him being a trickster and a supplanter and a schemer. Yeah, he was still God's chosen person, but he would go back and forth in the flesh. See this? And this is the same thing with us. We have to go on from milk of the word and apply and exercise faith so that we can mature. See this? We have to grow up. So let's start at Hebrews 5:11 and see what happens here, because these Hebrew Christians were on the verge of going back to Judaism because they feared being persecuted and being martyred. Okay? So let's start at chapter 5, verse 11.
Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing.
Okay.
But when
now let's stop right there, Sister Chair. I'm sorry. Now, what are the he says, of whom we have many things to say. He's talking about the scripture above where he was talking about Christ as our high priest, or after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, Melchizedek. He was talking about there was much, Paul said, there was much he had to say about it, because we rarely hear about the ministry of Christ as Melchizedek. We don't hear about that too much. We hear about him giving his life as the sin offering, or as the high priest who offered himself on our behalf for sin. But we don't progress to go further. So what Paul is saying here in these scriptures, there's a lot more I have, but you can't handle it. Why? We're going to see verse 12. Keep going.
For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the article of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
Now, you have to understand, when he said he had many things to say, but they were hard to be uttered, meaning he couldn't find the right interpretation to the capacity of his readers. That's what the note says. So why? He saw that they were dull of hearing, and we talked about this last week. The word dull of hearing, it means that you're slow or sluggish to respond or to act, slow of effort or movement, causing little or no pain, slow to develop. See this? So they were dull of hearing because Paul was saying stuff that, and I'm getting some feedback in somebody lining. If you can mute it. Paul was saying things that they didn't want to entertain. That didn't tickle their fancy. It wasn't candy to them, okay? And so they wanted something that was easy to swallow. They didn't want to go into Melchizedek, Christ being the eternal author of eternal salvation, and because they didn't know or comprehend how to apply it. You see this? So here they said, let me go to the notes here. It says, though this verse mentions teachers and teach, it likens the word of God to milk and solid food, which are for nourishment. So it's not about knowledge. Got to understand this. It's not about learning the word for knowledge, to quote scriptures and do all those things. That's not what the teaching of the word is about. I'm not here to teach you for knowledge, okay? We have to learn to the word to apply it for daily experience. You understand? We have to learn what we are, what Christ has done, and how I can progress in that and apply it to my life experience and what God's purpose in calling me to his body in this time for such a time as this. See, everybody, we're all called for a purpose. God placed us here in this dispensation of time for a reason. And it goes beyond building a church. It goes beyond me trying to further an organization. See, some of us got called out of those things that they were distractions. They pull us away from God's true purposes and his true intent. God's responsible for growing the church. See this? Because if each of us individually take the milk of God's word, now, I'm not saying that we don't need to be taught the word, but we need to understand the word. We need to understand. Paul said, I want to know why I've been apprehended. Paul said, I count all things as loss so I can gain. He didn't say his church nor his pastor, but Christ. See this? Many of us are trying to go after our ministry, we're serving and working, and God is not about that. And that's why he said, many are going to say, Lord, Lord, in that day, judgment seat, oh, we did this for you, we did that. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. It means he never came to know them through an active relationship where he communed with them through the Spirit, to communicate with them from the Holy Spirit to their human spirit. There was no fellowship and no communication. They were not developed by hearing God's truth and acting on it. Now, I want to stick with this dull of hearing. Paul says, seeing you are dull of hearing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13 for a minute. Keep your finger here at Hebrews chapter 5. This dull of hearing prevented them from being, he said, you ought to be teachers by now. Because they had to keep hearing the same thing over and over, the first principles of the oracles of God, which were the rudimentary things, just like a kid. And we gave the analogy last week, just like a kid, before they can build words, they have to learn the alphabet. They have to learn how to count. So if I go try to talk philosophical or take some of these scriptures and explain it to little children on my level or on an adult's level, they're not going to understand that.
Right.
So it has to be broken down. So it has to start with the elementary things and gain the knowledge of the ABCs and the numbers so they can develop words and sounds and go from there, right? It's the same thing in the Christian faith. A lot of Christians don't comprehend or understand what Christ has done. And not just he died for my sin, but know how that affect their life, how it's given them. He not only justified them, but he also delivers us from the power that sin has over us. See, we running from the devil and not realizing that the devil, if we're in Christ, the devil is powerless. If our faith is daily faith and placed in Christ, no matter, he may show up as an angel of light. He may show up as a roaring lion, or he may present himself as the shadow of death. But he says we're to fear no evil, as Ms. Neat read earlier, for God is with, thou art with me, and your rod and your staff comforts me. See that? That's an experience. That's not just quoting scriptures. See, many of us good at quoting the scriptures, but there's no experience behind it.
Right.
And this is why, see, they were dull of hearing because they didn't want to go through what Paul was telling. They didn't want to hear what Paul was saying that God's interpretation of the word was about. They wanted to hear nice little things that say, okay, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above God. You gonna move. Get me out. But they didn't want to see God says, I'll be with you through your problems. You're going to go through it, but I'll be there with you. See, we just want to get out of our problems. That's not the way God works. It's through tribulation. He said, in this life, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because he has overcome. So this dull of hearing, let me get here at Matthew chapter 13, and I think it's verse, let me see where I want to start. This is the parable of the sower and the seed, and Christ, if you realize, Christ was open in the previous chapters about the healing and preaching, but the more open he was, he realized it drew the Pharisees to try to stop him. So he started preaching in parables because he started drawing crowds, and everybody there wasn't there for the purpose of wanting to grow spiritually. They were there to find ways to attack him. So this is why he started speaking in parables, okay? So the Pharisees had saw him pull the grain from the corn or what have you, and they thought, oh, you can't do that on a Sabbath. See, he was being watched. So right after this, he starts speaking in parables. And so here he goes down and he's mentioning the parable of the sower and the seed. Now, he is the sower, and he's sown into us, okay? He sows himself. He's the word that's sown in our heart. Now, if you read this parable, we're not going to go through this tonight, but when you read this, you'll see how the different grounds represent the different conditions of the heart. There's four types, okay? Those that received on the wayside, they heard it, but it didn't penetrate the heart because the path was hardened. Those that received the word on stony ground received the word. There was enough dirt up top to receive the word, but when the seed tried to penetrate or be rooted, rocks were underneath the bedrock. Okay, those rocks had to be removed in order for the word to penetrate the heart and go down deep, because remember, the roots are trying to find the water source, okay? We're supposed to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, the water, the Spirit of God, the Word of God. Y'all see what I'm saying? So we have to go, the roots have to go down deep to get us rooted and established in Christ.
Right.
So I can't just stay on the milk, because standing on milk means I just want to stay on the surface. I receive you, Lord, but I don't want to go through nothing because I don't want you to uproot what's in my heart. I'm offended by the word. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, I start caring about my life and what's going to happen to me, and then I don't want to face, you know, I stop because I become anxious and fearful, and I can't go further. You see this? But when I'm nourished by the word, by eating the word and allowing the word to go deeper, I become rooted in Christ, meaning he's becoming Lord over my entire life. The more I yield, the more he becomes Lord over my entire life, okay? So here, let's start at verse 10, Sister Cherry, so we can see. He explains the purpose of him speaking in parables.
And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
Now, the reason why it was given unto them was simply because they immediately, when he saw them as fishermen, they stopped and dropped everything. They saw they were poor in spirit, meaning that they saw a need for the Savior. They didn't let their fishing career and their job hinder them from following Christ. So they were hungry for truth. And if you're hungry and thirsty, God will fill you. See this? But the other folks, he said, is given to you to understand because you dropped all to follow me. You deemed me more important and necessary in your life. Even though you may not understand everything, but you're willing to follow me to find out truth, to follow truth. You see that? Wasn't that they were perfect, and we saw that they weren't. They were imperfect men, but they dropped all to follow him. He said, come, follow me, right?
Amen.
So he said, he says, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not. Not that Christ didn't want them to have it, but they had no desire, and that's shown by the example of the parables. Keep going, Sister Cherry.
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he has.
Okay, the note says, if one wills righteousness, the Lord wills more righteousness to them. But whosoever has not, has no interest for more, from him shall be taken away. Okay? So he says, 13, keep going.
Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive.
Okay, so all this is saying here is the prophecy that he's quoting from the book of Isaiah. He says here, he says, they hear with their natural ears, but they don't understand. They see with their natural eyes, and they don't understand or perceive what they're seeing. And he says, it's because he looked at them, he said, you're hearing, you hear, seeing, you see, but you can't comprehend. Right? So it says here, he says, spoken prayer, because they see and see not, hearing, hear not, and they do not understand. And verse 14, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saying, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. Why? For this people's heart is wax gross. What that means in the original, it means their heart has become fat. Okay, what he's saying is their heart is fat, meaning it has too much of their opinions, too much of their own ways, too many of their own belief systems, the pride of life. They're very prideful. Self is exalted. So because they can't see with their spiritual eyes, because self is lifted up. Self, the heart is fat. It's increased. See this? They're increased. What is the heart? It's the main part. It's the mind, will, and the emotions, and it includes also the conscience. Okay? A lot of people, conscience was seared. The heart is the way for the word to penetrate and to see the way we are able to receive the Spirit of Christ is through the heart being open, which is through that conscience. You see what I'm saying? So when the conscience open up and see a need for Christ, the Spirit of God dwells or come in and communes to his Spirit. So the Spirit is responsible for helping us to open up more and more based upon our conviction or our conscience. This people, heart was fat, full of themselves, full of their own desires. It wasn't open to God or the things of God or the way of God. So they couldn't hear spiritually, because when he said, eat my flesh, if you want more, you want to grow and come after me, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Well, they heard him say that with their natural ears, and they saw him, and they said, this man crazy. And it said many did not follow him because they said it was a hard saying. They were trying to naturally figure out how to eat his flesh and drink his blood. You see that? Christ said, "Drink. I ain't drinking that. Who he think he is?" Their hearts were fat, full of pride, self, religion. Those things have to come down. I don't care what they are. They don't have to be churchy things, but we can be full of ourselves, our own desires, our own ways. Can nobody tell you the truth of God's word? Because this is what I know, and I went to seminary, and I went to college, and I got my doctorate, and can't nobody tell me.
Amen.
Y'all ever seen people that just want to be right, and they, I don't care what you say, they got to come back. They want to be right. That means the heart is fat, full of selfishness, self-centeredness, selfish ways, own desires, and that can be Christian or sinner alike. It will not let the word of God, Christ, penetrate the heart. So this is why they were dull of hearing. See this? And so it goes here. Let's keep going, Sister Cherry. I think we stopped that. Let me see. Where, was it 14? Verse 15.
For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them.
Okay.
So if they were to let God deal with them, if they would draw to him, see, the difference between the disciples and the people that, the Pharisees and the others that just followed to be nosy and to capture him, was that they were willing to be converted. They were poor in spirit. They saw a need for God. Blessed are they that mourn. They mourn because of the condition of humanity and a fallen race, and how Satan has caused the mind of men and women to be blinded, and they're all like sheep headed to the slaughter. Only the poor in spirit and those who mourn, they see those things from the perspective of the Godhead. So their eyes, they didn't just close it to the condition of themselves and others. They saw their true condition, and they were real with God. And because they were real, they could see spiritually and hear spiritually what he said and what he meant by it, and they can comprehend. And God could convert them and heal them. See that? That's what he's saying in 14. He says they close their eyes lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, and I should be converted, and I should heal them. God is not standing there trying to condemn and send everybody to hell. God loves all of mankind so much that he died for the world.
Yes.
And he said, whosoever, if you believe, you'll be redeemed. See? Believing doesn't mean that you got to get yourself together and straight and stop doing stuff. You and I can never do that. But just like those disciples, they just left their fishing business. They were still messed up. Peter still, remember, Peter was cussing and swearing, cut the man ear off, even, you know, following Christ, and they came into attack. Peter cut the man ear off, and Christ said, no. He said, those that live by the sword are going to die by it. He said, don't you know, Peter, I could call legions of angels to defend myself, but that's not why I came. My purpose is to die on the cross. If I don't die, you won't be redeemed.
Amen.
You won't be restored. You see? So this is why our flesh has to be torn, the same way Christ's flesh was torn. This is what the cross does. See, we have to go further and see all these things that God desires. But if I'm dull of hearing, I mean, I'm slow to respond because my heart is fat. I got my way, my will, my emotions. See, all on the throne of my heart, and God says, if you just drop it, come on, follow me, I can deliver you. I can help you see and hear properly and understand. Now, let's go back to, and he says in 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. See that he's talking to the disciples. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5. Any questions while we're going there?
That's the way a lot of it is today. Our hearts is fat because we don't want to do his way, and we don't want to let nobody tell us that this is the true way. So we sit there and say, well, this is the way I'm going to do it. This is the way God told me to do it. But God didn't tell you to do that. You're doing that on your own.
Exactly. Amen. And like I said, we don't have to be in church or in, you know, a lot of times we think it's just doing religious activities. It can be anything, any desire. People put their education, their intellect, just to say your own mindset, your own, you know. The Lord wants to tear down some things. Doesn't matter our status in life. You can be poor and just as prideful.
Mm-hmm.
See, it has nothing to do with the money and status in life. It's the heart, the condition of the heart. You got a lot of poor people, and they're poor because they're so proud. They're lifted up. You can't tell them nothing. You're trying to help them. And y'all see what I'm saying? They want to do things their way. They just want – I was watching a video. This young girl was in California, and she was looking at doing a documentary, but going around looking at these homeless camps that they had around and had out. And the city looked a mess. I mean, they just letting the homeless invade the cities, and they poop everywhere on the ground. And we had somebody, you know, we were walking the streets in Fayetteville. My husband was, and he said this woman just pulled her pants down, took a dunk, and kept going.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled a bottle of water out. And my point is, yeah, I understand. Nobody wants to be homeless. Nobody wants to go through those situations. But you can't just go around pooping in the middle of the street.
Right.
You can't just go around doing that's not sanitary. That's not, you can't, you know. So, but the girl did a documentary, and she went to the camp, and she was trying to minister to them, and they said, you just get out of here. Just give us some food. Give us some, because they're used to people coming around. They see their condition, and most of them were drug addicts. And they're like, okay, we can keep doing our drugs, and we know these folks don't come give us some food. And she said, I'll give you the word. And they got in a fight trying to get her to leave because they didn't want to hear the word. They just said, you just go get us some food and get us what we need,
mm-hmm.
and let us do our drugs and let us do what we – see, we can't just let – sin wants to just take over and invade people's lives. That's pride and arrogance. They don't want the truth. They just want want the meal and let me continue to stay in my state of doing drugs or whatever. And I'm not saying everybody's that way as far as being homeless, because you have some people who are genuinely trying to work, trying to do things, but will, for whatever reason, have become that way. But you don't see them out there doing the stuff that most of these camps are doing with being, how you say it, they're trying to, they want their habits fulfill the bad habit, drug habits. Y'all see what I'm saying? So they're on the street begging for money for that to support their habits.
Mm-hmm.
So that's being prideful and lifted up because you don't want the truth. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, they, the hungry people, they want food, true, but they want money to suit their needs. But my son, a guy came up to him and asked him to give him some money. And he told him, he said, no, I'm not going to give you no money. He said, I'll take you to the store and buy you something to eat. He said, no, I don't want it. I want money. If you can't give me money, I don't want nothing.
Right.
So he told him, he said, well, then you don't get nothing. He said, I'm willing to feed you. He said,
right.
But I'm not going to give you no money. He didn't take nothing.
Right.
So he wanted the money to buy him something with.
Right, and that's a heart that's being fat because you want your way. You don't want, you know, we lift it up. And that's what my point is, a very good point, Ms. Nee, is to prove that you can be poor and still be prideful, still be lifted up in your own ways and want your desire and not allow God to penetrate to help so you can see, hear, and be healed and converted.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good point. So let's go back here in Hebrews chapter 5. Now notice he says that, let me see here. When we're talking about nourishment, remember I was saying earlier that it's important. I think it was verse, he said in verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you what the rudiments of the beginning of the oracles of God are, and have become those who have need of milk and not of solid food. Everyone who partakes of milk is inexperienced. I'm reading in a different translation, and it's breaking down the words. Is inexperienced in the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Now, What we need is nourishment. We don't come to learn the word so I can prove I'm knowledgeable and I know this and I know that. No, we need to be broken. We need the word. We need nourishment. We need to grow. We need to take and comprehend the truths of God's word, the elementary part. Christ came, died for our sin. He had to die for the world because of what Satan, Adam and Eve did in the garden that brought in or brought about the fall. Satan has usurped the authority. See, most people don't know and understand that and to progress forward. Okay? And so we have to understand that Satan is always, remember, his desire is to rebel against God. Everything good God does, Satan tries to come and corrupt it, and he does a good job at it.
Amen.
God created the world, and what did he do? He came in corrupt. So it says here, in this short portion of the word, in verses 5, 11 through 14, there seems to be a contradiction when he says teachers and teach. So it says, this surely refers to knowledge. However, in these verses, it is clearly and definitely indicated that the word of God is for nourishment, because he likens the word to eating, I mean, to milk or solid food. And milk and solid food are not for knowledge. We don't study them. We drink and eat it, right? There's a reason why he's using milk and solid food. It's for nourishment spiritually. Many people are trying to learn the word just for knowledge. You can hear them on, you know, whatever, TV and the title. You know how we know? Because everybody's trying to strive for, well, I'm a bishop, and I'm an overseer, and I'm an apostle. I'm seeing more and more titles. And not knowing that bishop, overseer, presbyter, elder, pastor all mean the same thing. But in our eyes, we created all this hierarchy in the church, and everybody's striving for that, and nobody's being nourished. These people are not nourished in the word. All I see, you see the pride, the arrogance. You see the lording over other people's faith, the sheep, those that are under them. You see them wanting you to do work in the church, serve. You see them wanting you to spend your time and energy, and all it does is distract you from what God has called you. That's why Mary had to stop serving. And I'm not saying don't serve, because you're going to have some people out there where she said don't serve, don't work in the church. She had to stop, and she realized Christ was more important. Martha was jealous and asked the Lord, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? He said, Martha, she's chosen the best part. See, we get it confused and mixed up. We think that church is about serving and building kingdoms. See, we're no different than the folks that tried to build the Tower of Babel. Everybody came together on one accord. If you get people together on one accord, you can make something happen, and that can be for a good or evil cause. So they came together in Genesis, got a leader, Nimrod. Does this sound like the church? And they went to town building their tower to reach the heavens. God wasn't in it. See this? So if you got a bunch of babes, they're ignorant of righteousness. They're not understanding how righteousness, how God works. So Satan take advantage of that ignorance by putting people over them, Nimrods, that demand, come on, we're doing it for the kingdom. We're trying to reach the heavens. And they sincerely think they're doing it for God, but really it's pride, it's arrogant. It has nothing to do with God. So the Bible classifies, the Bible itself classifies God's word into two categories, milk for babes and solid food for the mature. That's what we're talking about here. Milk is for babes. We're talking about nourishing and nourishment. So this is how we get growth. When you give a baby, you can't give an infant a steak to eat. His system is not, his or her system is not developed to process that. But the mother's milk has been processed for the baby to handle it. the breast milk goes through a process within the mother, and it breaks down different things inside her body, and then boom, when the baby gets the milk, it's processed for his system to handle it, right?
Yes.
So it's the same thing with the Word of God. God has principles that we must learn to build. See, we got to get the foundation right. The foundation is the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We have to understand that while we're saved. Why? What happened? What, you know, the whole point of salvation. If I don't, I have to lay that foundation first and build upon it. If I don't get the foundation right, you go try to build a house out of sand. What's going to happen? You lay the foundation with sand, and you build on top of that house. What do you think? What's going to happen when the rain comes? And you can build a brick house. But if that foundation ain't right, what's going to happen, y'all?
It's going to collapse.
Right.
It's going to fold apart.
When the rain comes and the storms, that dirt going to wash away in that building, even though it's a brick house,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be destroyed, right? So the foundation has to be laid properly, and there's nothing wrong with being a babe. We all have to be a babe when we enter into this salvation experience. But there's a difference with these Christians here. They were not progressing on the milk of God's word. They kept drinking milk, listening to the rudiments or the first principles of Christianity over and over and over. When they went to church, they just stayed around the cross. Oh, yes, thank you, Jesus, you died for my sin. See, that's the foundation. But they never comprehended why, what, how this is going to work in your life, how you and I need to be terminated, how we cannot live a life in our own energy and strength for God, how we can't work in religious activities to try to please God. See, and they kept staying around the altar, but they never comprehended how to apply that to their daily living. That make sense?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So here it says, let me read the notes right quick. Rudiments is elements, primary elements. Okay? So here it says that for everyone who partakes, in verse 13, of milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness. Okay? So if I stay in milk, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I just want y'all to see this right quick.
What do you say?
1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, this will show us a group of people that's on milk. And we'll start at verse 1.
You see, 3.
Yes, ma'am. Now, remember, milk is for progression. Does a baby stay on breast milk all his life, his or her life? They normally stay on milk probably about, what, first year or so?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening is at the more they drink the milk, the more their body is developing and they're growing. Okay, so their organs start processing where to the point where they can handle more solid food. And so it says here, Paul, and we're going to read this first, and I'll go and read the notes. Let's go to verse 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able.
Okay. So he said he could not speak to them as spiritual. This is the state that we should be progressing to. Solid food is for those who are spiritual, meaning that the Holy Spirit is controlling your spirit, filling you, governing your life day by day. The Spirit of God is governing your life day by day, okay? So he has to take possession. He should take possession of the soul as well, meaning that I'm yielding to what I'm reading. I'm not only reading it, or I'm just not, you know, some people just go through the Bible trying to find scripture or word to fit what they already believe.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to learn to let the word fit or suit us for God's purposes and God's desires. A person that just wants the rudiment or elementary candies, find something that tickles their ear, that, you know, they say you're having itching ears. You want to find somebody that's speaking what you already believe. Find somebody that says the thing that you can, you know how people go from church, they're looking for a church that suits what they already, and what I mean by that is if you have a certain belief, you're trying to find that church that preaches that, or you're trying to find a truth that corresponds to what you believe instead of letting the word of God tear down, if it's not Christ-like or according to God's way, to tear it down.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So here he goes to this, to the Corinthians who are Christians, and he says, I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. Carnal means that they were in the flesh. They were doing things not according to divine influence, but according to their own purposes. Their hearts was fat with their own desires. Let's keep going. And he says, in verse 2, I fed you with milk. Now, see, it's the same thing that was happening in Hebrews. He gave them milk, not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able, meaning that they couldn't bear it then and they can't bear it now. So it's been time, sometimes, let's say years, and they're still at the same place, stuck on the same milk of the word. It's about almost like having a 10-year-old on breast milk. That looked weird, huh?
Amen.
And so we have to learn. So he's saying, Paul said, I'm still, he said, how did he know that they were carnal? Look at verse 3, keep going.
For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?
That's what it means to be carnal or in the flesh. We're walking as men. We're walking by sight. He says there's envying among you. Y'all seen some Christians that envy other people. Y'all
mm-hmm.
seen some people, Christians, that keep up strife and divisions.
Amen.
That means they're not spiritual. They're carnal. Their mind is set on the ways of this world system. They keep up mess, and you like, I don't want to be around this. And they're supposed to be the Christian. He says, you're walking as men of the world. Aren't you? You're carnal. So how did he know they were carnal? Keep going, verse 4.
For while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?
So they were lifting up men. What do we see in the church today?
Lifting up men.
Yes, they were lifting up their pastor, their leaders, their apostle, their this and that. He says, no, it's not about them. Now, I'm not demeaning the individuals that are laboring in the faith to preach, because Paul was a great preacher and teacher, Apollos, but it wasn't about them. Now, notice Paul's response. Keep going, Sister Cherry.
Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man.
So he's like, who is Paul? Who am I? Who is Apollos? We just ministers. That's the by whom you believe. We preach the gospel. We weren't the ones that died for you.
Amen.
Even as the Lord gave to every man. Now notice what Paul says. He's keep going.
I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Keep going.
So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase.
So it's God. The focus should not have been on men. What do we see
Amen.
In today's organized church? We're more focused on what, y'all? Y'all help me
pastor.
Out.
Pastor.
Pastor. Money.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yes. You see this? Paul said, you're carnal, and this is the problem. You got most people in church that's stuck on milk, and that's what he's saying. When you're on milk, he said, I fed you with milk, but you're not progressing. I gave you milk. You're not even using the milk that I gave. You see this? They're not using the milk. They put the milk aside, and they said, well, I'm appalled. Now, see, they laid aside the rudiments. They didn't build. They laid it aside and built their own way based upon Apollos, Paul, and Cephas. See that?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't building based upon the rudiments, meaning that they put the milk aside. He says, he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, meaning you're God's field, and you are God's building. See this? So Paul is trying to get them to see we're nothing. Quit focusing on who you're following and focus on God who has given the increase. Any questions on that before we move further? All right, let's go back to Hebrews. I want us to see something here. So we see here that it is important that we go take the milk of God's word. And there's another place I want you to go. Y'all going to get tired of me, but 1 Peter 2 and 2. He wants us to take the milk of the word. There's nothing wrong with the milk. The milk was, it says, it's a metaphor for the less difficult Christian truths. There's nothing wrong with milk. Understand that. But milk is supposed to be taken and you apply it and grow from it. You're not to be dull, slow to respond to the truth. You're to apply it. So in your life, in my life, remember, the word doesn't become a rhema until you take and apply the word to your situation. Otherwise, it's just stuff you're quoting. It's just logos. It's just the word, the written word of God. But it becomes a rhema when you can take that word and apply it to your situation, as you said earlier, Sister, when you're in the heat of the moment. And Satan is on you. Remember, he said he came to tempt Christ, and Christ said, it is written that you shall not live by bread alone, but by the word. And that right there said was rhema. That word translated rhema, the word of God. So when you and I apply truth, the word, God's word, to a situation, that's when it becomes a rhema word to you. That's when it's been applied and you are going through an experience and allowing the word to penetrate. See, you and I have to work with God. Paul just said, we are laborers with God. So as God works in me, I have to work with him by yielding. When the Spirit says, quit lying, y'all know he will convict us, and there we go, believing our own lie. The Spirit said, why are you lying? And so I have to work with the Spirit and say, Lord, you know what, you're right. Why am I sitting here? I got to keep up all these lies. And y'all know that's hard. That is hard. So strong, when he's talking about strong, y'all at 1 Peter 2 and 2? Let me get there right quick. I'm telling y'all, and I'm not even there. Let's start at verse 1.
Okay. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrites and envious and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Uh-oh, nourishment again. He ain't saying if so be you got the knowledge, you done went to get your, you got used your intellect and your doctorate degree. Y'all see what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with that. But my point is, he's using milk and and solid food to show that we have to, it's nourishment. We have to be nourished by the word of God. Now, the first thing he says in verse 1, wherefore laying aside. Now, the only reason why I can lay aside malice, or we can lay aside malice and all guile, falsehood, and hypocrisies, you know, some of us be one way today, another tomorrow, depending on the crowd we're with, and envyings and evil speaking. See, this is what the Spirit of God is in you and I for, to put to death those things, to terminate us. We got to lay it aside. So our work, the Spirit of God will bring to surface, hey, you got a problem with malice. You pretending to be something you're not. You just an actor on the stage of life. One minute you telling people, trying to quote the word, but you ain't living it. See this?
Man.
You envious of others. And then you speaking evil. He's saying, the Spirit says, this needs to be removed. I need to remove this. And what I have to do is, as a newborn babe, see, there's nothing wrong with being, we should all start as babes.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, yes, Lord, have your way in my life. I was wrong. It doesn't matter how bad or what a person does to us. I have to lay aside malice. If there's malice that comes up out of it, or guile, or hypocrisy, or envy, or evil speaking, I have to, yes, Lord. My job is not the other person. My job is dispossess. See, the land is, God wants to break up the fallow ground of my heart. And he will use whatever is necessary to get to it, to uproot some stones, some rocks, thorns. Doesn't matter what it is. God knows what circumstances and situations are necessary to remove it. So I have to lay it aside. Yes, Lord. And it hurts sometimes. And what I would do is, he said, as newborn babes, now, if you lay this aside and let me remove it, now you're going to desire the milk of my word.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to run to the word. You're going to want to be nourished by his word. And that's how you and I are to grow. See?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I truly taste it, see, if some people ain't truly taste it. We say we taste it in our head. But if you truly taste it, you're going to be willing, Lord, have your way.
Yeah.
You see this? Poor in spirit. I'm not on the throne of my heart. Lord, have your way. And this is a process, and it takes time. But the more that we walk in sync with the Spirit of God and agree and yield and surrender, the easier it becomes. So I'll go from a newborn babe desiring the sincere milk of his word to wanting solid food. That's how I am to grow. Now let's go back. This is my last one. We'll go back to Hebrews chapter 5. Uh-huh. That's our original base scripture, Hebrews chapter 5. Now, notice he says here, he's talking about strong meat. He says those, I think it was verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk again. Why? Because they never applied. They never desired the sincere milk of God's word, and grew, they didn't never grew. So they can't go from milk to meat because they laid aside the milk. Okay? He says, everyone in verse 13 that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. See, the word of righteousness. So if you use milk, the word useth is to share in or be a partaker or take part. So everyone that takes part in the milk, or just, in other words, they stay. What was happening in the background, he's talking to these Hebrew Christians who were contemplating going back to the Jewish system of offering the animal sacrifice and those things, right? So he's saying, if you go back, you're going back to milk. You're going back to the basic elements, the things, the rudiments that I've already went over and gone over. So now you're going to become, he says, everyone that used milk, they're unskillful in the word of righteousness. The word of righteousness simply means it's the state of a person who is as he ought to be, righteous. It's the condition that's acceptable to God, right? This is a doctrine concerning the way in which man may attain a state approved of God. So it's talking about the ministry of righteousness. Now, this ministry or word of righteousness deals with or talks about, it's always given a warning. Now, the warning that he gave to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 3 was, if you don't go on, or if you don't go on into the promised land, you're going to be overthrown in this wilderness. And they wandered. The word of righteousness is, we are to progress on to righteous, right doing, right being. But I cannot do that if I stay on milk. And what happened to the Christians in the wilderness, they refused to go forward, and it caused them to wander in the wilderness 40 years and drop dead. They never obtained the promises. So if you refuse to grow, that means you refuse to enter into the promises of God. So the ministry of righteousness, the ministry, it focuses on the ministry of the new covenant. And it's both the spirit as life supply and righteousness living out and genuine expression of Christ, who as the spirit is our life. So right, the ministry of the word of righteousness is just bringing forth fruit of righteousness. Righteousness is chastening, bringing forth fruit of righteousness, meaning that God has to chastise us to get this righteousness to be produced. You cannot go into that that process. You cannot develop into that unless you take the word and grow, use it, exercise it. If you're not willing to walk in the truth of God's word, and we're going to close with the milk based upon the principles, and we're going to see in chapter 6 what these beginning principles were. And in Judaism, it was talking about the laying on of hands, all these. We'll get into that next week in chapter 6. But they were stuck in the Jewish culture in the beginning principles dealing with salvation and how it was a picture of Christ. So they never progressed to see that how superior Christ was and how his ministry as Melchizedek helped them right now. They were still stuck in the old Jewish culture. We do the same today. You see people blowing that shofar. You see people with that horn. Y'all know what I'm saying? They got the shawl. Nothing wrong with it. But they're trying to go back to the first principles instead of seeing that all of that was dealing with Christ. They're trying to go back, and I think Juanita Bynum had the whole altar and all that. She had that altar, what you call it, the brazen altar set up, and you have people talking about putting on army gear to fight Satan, and you and I can't fight Satan in our strength. I'm sorry. Satan is powerful, and the only way he was defeated was through Christ at Calvary. And if I'm in Christ, I'm hidden. See this? So the enemy will use these things to lure us out of the secret place of the Most High God. That's how we abide, by the shadow of the Almighty. See? But when I step out of him, guess what? Satan now says, okay, it's me and you, not you and God, you and Christ. See, by being in Christ, it's Satan against Christ, and he's already defeated. And at the name of Jesus, it said everything has to bow. But if I can pull you out of Christ by making you think that, you know, it's about your pastor, it's about church. Remember, they were carnal. Satan does not want a Christian that's spiritual. Because if he's spiritual, Christ shows up. See what I'm saying? But if I'm carnal, then they show up in the flesh, and Satan can box our ears back. But on that note, I've gone over my time. Y'all probably got some rocks ready to stone me.
Not I.
Rocks. Thank you, ma'am.
Not I.
Okay. All right. So we're going to pick up on this. I know I've said it poorly, but we're going to get through this. And it seems like we're going slow through the book of Hebrews, but I'd rather just focus. There's a lot that I have not even scratched the surface, but it's only so much we can get in an hour. And if we can pinpoint on the key things that the Lord wants to reveal in our spiritual walk, then I think it's important to stay right there and we move at his pace. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So next
Amen.
Week we're going to continue with we're going to go into chapter 6, and then we'll progress to see how we have to what we have to go on from and go on into as we develop on the Word of God. So until next Tuesday, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you. Those on the line, hold on, and we'll take questions and comments.